Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Moving right along on a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday. The week's half over. Can you believe it? Like that.
It's more than half over now for us.
Tomorrow, it's Alex Gold, Ben Maller, Nate Taylor. Loaded show tomorrow, and then it's Friday, and we all get to have fun with that. Today's also my dad's birthday, but also Matt Damon's birthday.
Oh, today. My man crush. I love that.
Matt Damon.
What's he, 54? 55, 54, 55.
You think he's that old?
I do, yes.
Yes. Matt Damon age. He is 55 years old.
Oh, I nailed that one.
Looks good for 55.
He looks great for 55. That's why he's my man crush.
Matt Damon, Bob, yeah.
Yep, I did. I nailed Matt Damon, I'll tell you.
Somebody said, did Matt quit and move to Philadelphia? No. He's
Philadelphia?
Random.
He picked the Eagles a couple weeks ago.
And then
he worked
okay.
for them on the sideline.
That's right.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah. You know,
he's hanging out with Big Dom.
He was hanging out with Big Dom and his guy Howie Roseman down on the sidelines. I'm interested to see what happened. Philadelphia is very interesting to me right now because I'm kind of with you, Nathan. It really reminds me of that 2 years ago. The minute that thing went south, it went south in a big way. I look at them. That's why I'm not concerned with the Chiefs because they're veterans. They've been there. They've done that. They've got great leadership inside that locker room and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid. I don't know if the Philadelphia Eagles necessarily have great leadership. I don't know that Nick Sirianni is a great leader in times of adverse situations. We've seen him give the finger to the crowd and all that kind of stuff. And so that's why when you have a 2-hour meeting with three of your biggest players and nobody mm-hmm. else is involved and you're coming off a loss and whatnot, boy, it could go south there in Philadelphia. It could go south really, really fast.
It's going south in Cleveland as they've decided to trade Joe Flacco to the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm.
He will be their starting quarterback with that offensive line. I fear for Joe Flacco's life, if I'm being 100% honest with you. The one thing I will say, though, is that it shows that Cincinnati is buyers, not sellers.
Yeah.
And they're not done with their season yet. We'll see if Joe Burrow can come back and if their team is salvageable to keep the season alive because that division is also very weak this year with Baltimore being 1-4, Cleveland, Cincinnati, and then the Steelers who lead that division. They had a bye week last week. They'll get back to it this week with Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and company with Mike Tomlin as well. Yesterday was also the day of fines. Mm-hmm. We know that Tuesday is always the check your mail and see if there's a signature from Roger Goodell. This guy didn't get fined by Roger Goodell, but he did get fined by his own team, and that is Mr. Gannon. Right, the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals on hitting the player. This was his response on the press conference yet.
I didn't see the video, David, but
oh, come on.
Yeah, I actually I woke up this morning and didn't feel great about it, honestly. And so in the team meeting, I addressed it. I apologized to Omari, apologized to the team. And I just told him I kind of let the moment of what happened get the better of me there. Obviously, like I try to be emotionally stable and calm because my job is to solve problems when during a game and kind of lead the charge on that. So it's not really who I am, who I want to be, and I told the guys that today. So it's a mistake by me, and it's just like everybody in there. Everybody made some type of mistake yesterday, which is, you know, culminates to why we didn't win the game, and we can't let it happen.
Is that a word salad?
That the one word, if we're doing one word, fired.
Because he starts off, he says at the end, he's like, we all did something that we're not proud of. I'm like, wait a minute,
yeah,
dude.
No.
You kind of hit your own player who was being consulted by another player who seemed to be doing the right job.
Right.
And again, I know it was in most worlds of sports, that's a love tap. Like, hey, come on, man. That's, you can't do that stuff. We see this all the time in the NFL. And in a moment of adversity, he just kind of added fuel to the fire instead of being like, hey, you're better than that. Don't do it again. Trust me, or you won't play. Instead, kind of hit him on the chest. I'm not as against it as most people. I will say that. I don't think you do that in that situation because the situation has already ran amok, right? It's already a catastrophic failure. He fumbles. It costs you an 87-yard touchdown run. The guy was clearly feeling terrible about it by doing that fumble, which, again, I don't know why this continues to happen. I don't know if it's like some sort of enigma in the NFL that we can't figure out why people do this. Just cross the goal line. We saw Patrick Mahomes do it perfectly well in the Monday Night Football game with his little Mario leap, like he was getting ready to hit the coin box.
Yeah.
And we see this happen in the Arizona game, and then that's his response of, I didn't see the video.
That's a lie.
Yeah, for that, sure. That, saw the video. I mean,
come on, dude. No, you're not fooling anybody, you fraudulent liar. You, everybody in the NFL watches everything. You had to be dead from the neck up not to see that video. Now, I will say this. And if that was, if this is 1985 and he did that, I don't have a problem with that at all, right? It's 2025. The mindset has changed, right? In the 70s, 80s, 60s, a coach would do something like that. My dad used to tell stories about how his football coach in high school would grab him by the face mask and throw him down, right? Those were accepted practices back then. That's what football was about. We have now changed. We have matured. We've gotten older. People don't take that kind of stuff anymore. I've always asked you about working with people who yell and scream all the time, right? Make fools of themselves. Mm-hmm. Does that make you want to work harder for that person? No. So you're now in a different mindset where it's 2025. People don't put up with this kind of stuff anymore. And that guy on the sidelines was clearly down. He knew he made a mistake. And then to have your head coach come up to you and do that and punch you in the stomach like he did, or love tap you, however you want to say it, that's not a good look for that head football coach. You know what Andy Reid would have done? We got this. We're giving you the ball the next play. And that's the difference between Andy Reid being a winner and a great leader and a great head coach versus whoever that guy is out in Arizona who claims he didn't watch the video, which is the biggest lie I've ever heard. These NFL coaches are really good at lying. Some lie. That guy in Arizona is nothing but a liar. Oh, I didn't see the video. Kiss my ass. Your wife showed that to you in bed, and she looked at you and said, this is not appropriate. Or maybe one of your kids showed that to you because they're on TikTok. That video was literally everywhere. I'm sure your boss probably brought that into the office along with the HR lady and probably said, what are we doing here in this situation? And then you get up in front of the media and try to insult the intelligence of everybody and say, I haven't seen the video. That is a downright lie. That guy should be fired because he is not a respected guy. He's not a good coach, and he's not a leader of a team. A leader of a team doesn't do that. A leader puts his arm around that guy and goes, hey, hang in there, man. We got your back. We all make mistakes. We all don't worry about it. We got you. Instead, he went up and tapped him like he did, or punched him, or however you want to describe it. That's not a leader. That guy needs to be fired.
This guy got a fine.
The last time we won a Super Bowl, I could still get hard without taking a pill. Nowadays, my dinger just looks like a wet biscuit.
You want to talk about a word salad.
Jerry Jones said he meant to give some Cowboys fan a thumbs up, ended up giving him the bird.
Right.
Video's hilarious.
Oh, it's outstanding.
Waves, boom. Oh, sorry. Wrong finger went up. I quote tweeted that yesterday, so that's exactly what I do in traffic. I meant to give the guy the thumb, not the finger.
Yeah.
Somebody responds, goes, so that was you that flipped me off the other day on the highway. Yeah, that's just crazy. What do you get fined? Like
$250,000, I think, is ultimately what it ended
up
being.
That's an expensive middle finger.
It really is. And why, can I just get a quick sidebar here? Why do we have to continually in print media call these things inadvertent gestures or inappropriate gestures? Why can't we just say Jerry Jones gave the finger to somebody? Why do newspaper people try to be like above board? There was an inadvertent gesture. So you know what I'm thinking of? He may have rolled the dice. I don't know what the inadvertent gesture is. Now I want to see what this is. He gave the finger to somebody. It's okay to say that, newspapers.
Is like, it not okay to give people the finger?
I don't know. I do it a lot.
I did it, especially
to boomers that can't drive.
I gave it to Kling every day I saw him. Still do.
So this was Jerry Jones's quote about, you talk about a word salad, right?
Mm.
That was unfortunate. That was kind of an exchange with our fans in front of us. So now you're claiming you were giving the finger to your own fan. Gotcha. There was a swarm of Cowboy fans out in front, not Jet fan, Cowboy fans. The entire stadium was brimming with enthusiasm of Cowboys, and certainly late in the game. The gesture was inadvertent on my part because that was right after we made our last touchdown, and we were all excited about it. There wasn't any antagonistic issue or anything like that. I just put up the wrong show of the hand. That was inadvertently done. I'm not kidding. If you want to call it accidental, you call it accidental. But it got straightened around pretty quick. I had a chance to look at it. It got straightened out pretty quick. But the intention was thumbs up and basically pointing out to our fans because everybody was jumping up and down excited. So we're supposed to believe that you inadvertently flipped somebody off because you thought you were giving them the thumb for a thumbs up. And now you're telling us that you were giving the bird to your own crowd?
Mm-hmm.
They should be giving you the bird for the last 30 years, Gramps.
Micah Parsons did.
Yeah, he did.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL and CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long. Starting at just $30 for your first year. So essentially, that's $2.50 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We talk next about what's coming up for the Chiefs and where they rank on offense and what can change for this team moving forward on 96.5 The Fan, your home for the Kansas City Chiefs.
All right, we're back at it. Fesco and Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, rolling through what we call a Wednesday morning here. And Nathan Williams alongside. Mac will be back tomorrow. He's ready to rip sports takes about his Chiefs and everything that has gone
on
the last couple of days.
Well, we haven't confirmed with
Mac yet. Well, no, we haven't. We don't know if he's been...
I haven't heard a word from Mac.
Well, in all seriousness, with this government shutdown that's going on right now, that means TSA is very understaffed at airports. Air traffic controllers are not showing the work. There was an airport in L.A., I think it was John Wayne Airport yesterday in Orange County. No air traffic control. They shut the airport down. So I don't know. If you're flying and you're at the airport, let us know. Was it working? Are people moving around? Are we flying around the country? Are the government shut down keeping people from getting home? Because there has been a lot of that. So there is no guarantees that Mac's coming back tomorrow because of all the government shutdown that's going on, flights and whatnot getting canceled all over the joint.
You know how when there's trade rumors for someone, people will say, oh, I just saw DeAndre Hopkins at the Hertz at the airport.
Yeah, right.
If someone lays eyes on Mac, can you let us know?
Very easy to find. He'll be sitting cross-legged on the floor eating Shake Shack hamburgers.
Right, exactly. I've got a picture to prove it with my wife at the New Orleans airport. Mm-hmm. Like a child he is.
He's a good kid. Somebody has given us information here on the text line of instead of giving people, this came from True Green Thumb and another number.
Okay.
Fellas, stop giving the finger when driving. If you want to throw someone off, give them the thumbs down.
Oh yeah. Like that. Remember that Yankee fan who sat there? Thumbs down.
It's Vern's favorite GIF.
Is it really?
Yeah. He loves it.
I do too. It's funny. It's just so good.
I can confirm as a thumbs down person when I'm driving that people get 10 times more upset than they do.
So you've done it.
Bird. Oh, 100%.
You have? Okay. What do they do? Like, I won't
remember.
They
get 10 times worse.
But do they like just yell at you?
It's been a week or two, but it was someone behind me. I'm telling you, this is like a couple times a year. I'm thumbs downing somebody out of the window, you know? They're just flashing their lights, honking their horn. We were on the highway and they were you know, real close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just stuck my thumb out the window and pointed it down, and they didn't like it very much.
Did they go around you finally?
They ended up going around, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I do sometimes if somebody's behind me like that? I'll just take the cruise control off if I'm on cruise control and all of a sudden just slow down. Won't hit my brakes. I'll just slow down.
And you know, neither of us should do these things. People are crazy. You never know what people behind you are going to do. And so I realize that it's wrong, but yeah, people get so much more irate with the thumbs down.
People get so mad when they're driving. And I understand it because, you know, the time of day we drive, there's not a lot of traffic out there, but it's all boomers driving around out there, keeping the roads from being free flowing, you know, staying in the left lane when you don't need to be. The new thing now is for these boomers driving in two lanes.
Ugh.
Just pick a lane. It's either the left or the right. The dotted line is not Pac-Man and we're not following it.
Huh.
Worst one for me, and I get this all the time coming up here from K-10, is when, let's say the speed limit's 70 and you got a semi doing 64 well, the semi behind it really wants to do 65. So he's going to get in the left lane and
they're going
to drive by each other for 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. That one gets me going like no other.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I'm a truck driver. I laugh at those morons. And then the other person says, you give somebody the thumb or the finger, be prepared to have a 9mm point at you because people are crazy. That's the other thing.
That's right.
Yeah, I kind of stay away from that because I was on Shawnee Mission Parkway one time getting ready to do after hours. And two guys were like weaving back and forth in traffic. And you know where that like vape shop is on Shawnee Mission Parkway?
You'd have to be more specific.
Right by Scooters. There's like that strip or whatever. Yeah, yeah. They both pulled into there and I was hoping the light would stay red. And I like looked back and they both got out of the car, slammed the door. I think these guys were getting ready to duke it out. But I didn't get to see it because the light went green. I wanted to just do a U-turn and be like, come on, guys.
Yeah. No, you want to be far away from that so they don't call you as a witness.
I like this one from the 913. Hold down your windshield wiper fluid if someone's right behind you on the highway. That's a good one.
Oh, yeah, because it does. It usually gets on. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I do like that one. That's pretty good. I may try that.
People said leaving the blinker on is about the worst thing you can do while driving. Is there a sign to let people know? Because you know how somebody will have like their left blinker on and we're going straight for over about, you know, 4 or 5 miles. You just want to be like, how do you let them know?
You yell, I've done that. Your blinker's on. Oh, you know.
I've gotten in front
then
of
you're
someone.
You're going to get the planes, trains, and automobiles.
Yeah.
You're going the wrong way.
Okay.
What are you saying, Nathan?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I've gotten around somebody who's done that before, and I turned my blinker on when I got in front of them. You know, like if we're in the far left lane and it's the left blinker, get in front of them, turn your left blinker on.
Right, because we know the old school communication of cars. If there's a cop ahead, you do the
flash of brights. People don't do that as much anymore.
Oh, really?
No. I do it all the time. No. I mean, but I don't see people. Do you see people doing that much
anymore?
If a
cop sees you do that, will they pull you over?
We were always told when we were kids that if we did that and a cop saw us, they would pull us over for that.
What for? Hazardous driving?
I don't know, but like it's those things your parents tell you as a kid that like by the time you reach 40, you've just believed your whole life.
Like leaving the dome light on is illegal?
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah. You know what should be illegal? I think it is actually driving with headphones and earbuds in now too. That's just dangerous.
You blink your blinker on the side that's theirs and it's on, you blink the other blinker. I don't think that works. Mm. Someone says you could just yell BBL stinky at whoever cuts you off.
BBL stinky.
This is brutal. Our uncle used to throw pennies out the sunroof.
I worked with a woman who did that, actually. Yeah. This was a girl.
That's not cool.
This was a girl from Jersey, so, okay, and her name was Carrie, and I'll never forget this woman. She was a spitfire, right? Like, I mean, just a spitfire of a girl, right?
Like
just,
Susie from Curb?
Yes.
That seems to me that's like the cliche Jersey lady.
Yeah, kind of like that, right? I mean, and I worked at this place called Capital Asset, it was called, right? And what we did is like we bought liens on property. And so my job in, you know, 1995 or six, whatever the hell year it was, making $10 an hour. And I figured out how I could scam more money, never took a lunch break, made more money. Okay, anyway. So I would have to call all these like town assessors every day and say, talk about properties and all this kind of stuff. It was just mundane, busy work. But this woman, Carrie, worked there and she was, you know, I don't remember what her job was. I'll never forget this woman. Smoked like it was nobody's business, right? I mean, she would burn dart after dart after dart. She sat like Mac a lot of the times, yelling and screaming and all this kind of stuff. And she used to get so pissed at cars and traffic. She said, yeah, I keep pennies in the car, so when they piss me off, I throw pennies at them. And I'm like, are you out of your mind?
Yeah, there's a way to get someone to point something at you.
Collect those pennies now.
Yeah, you're not going to see many of them anymore, right?
Nope, they're going to go back to the straw penny. It's 2 days in a row we've done that, so we'll try to do better. Speaking of doing better, the last 2 years, the Chiefs' record doesn't really make sense to me. And I'll explain. Last year, they were 15-2. Technically 15-1, but they weren't technically what you would look at as a 15-2 team. Like you look at a 15-2 team, you're like, okay, they were, you know, top five DVOA on offense, top five DVOA on defense. Makes sense. They were 11-0 in one score games, right? This year they are 2-4 and they are 0-3 in one score games, right? Mm-hmm. Beat Baltimore 37-20, easy math. Beat the Giants 22-9. You lost 27-21, 20-17, and 31-28. Completely different. But what's also completely different is this year's offense. The offense was not there last year, right? Remember last year we were asking, can they just score 20?
Right.
Can you just score 20? And what do we do every single day we do this show? I don't care if you score 20 or 17. Just win. Well, this year, you are scoring points. You scored 28, 20, 22, 17, and 21. The offense is there, and it's going to improve. We know this. Rashee Rice is coming back in 2 weeks. He's going to be here. Well, I guess a week if you don't want to count, you know, this week and then, but the Raiders. The offense wasn't there last year. This year, they are here. And the wins were there, but the wins aren't here this year. Mm-hmm. So their records don't really make sense because this year, they are fifth in points per drive, second in yards per drive, eighth in total yards, ninth in passing yards, and they're averaging 25 points a game. This team and its offense will continue to get better. Will the defense?
Well, I don't think the defense is bad. I think the defense has been playing good. They just had a bad moment the other night, right? Like, I think we look at that score, 31-28, minus 7 for the defense. So they gave up 24 points, okay? Mm-hmm. They gave up 24 points in that game. You scored 28. That's a winnable game. The offense, you know, obviously gave you 7 more because of the interception. So I think the score isn't indicative of I think this team is a fine football team. I think they're a good football team. I think they're one of the best teams in the NFL. I'll ask you guys this, though. Would you rather be 5-0 with the offense not scoring points? Because now you got your offense and they're sitting at 2-3. Are you happy now? For those that were bitching last year about this team, oh, they're 5-0, but they can't score. They're 2-3 and they're scoring plenty of points. See why it doesn't matter what your offensive numbers are? All that matters is that you win games. Last year, they found ways to win games. This year, they're not finding at this point in time ways to win games. They've got to do a better job of doing that. And so, you know, I would take last year first 5 games over this year's first 5 games any day of the week because the record's better. And that's what we were saying last year. Hey, they're winning games. Just find ways to win. That's all that matters in the NFL. And people complain. I guess I just don't understand why there's always people complaining about this Chiefs team. No matter what they do, there are people that live out there that aren't happy, that aren't satisfied, that will always complain about this team. And I'm looking at this team right now, I'm going, they're 2-3. They're not great from a record standpoint. Hey, their offensive numbers are fantastic, but they're not great from a record standpoint. And you know, at the end of the day, the only stat that matters, wins and losses. And right now, I'd rather be 5-0 with the 30th offense than 2-3 with the 5th best offense at this point in time.
The defensive stat numbers go as follows. Total yards, they're 11th in the NFL, giving up 323.2. We know that kind of fits par for the course because Spags is a bend, don't break. They're going to give up yards. They're just trying to give up points.
Right.
They do not give up a ton of passing yards, which is a positive sign that we can dive into more tomorrow with this Detroit game because Detroit can air it out against anybody. They can also run it against anybody, and that's what scares the absolute hell out of me with Detroit because passing yards are giving up 190.6. That's 7th in the league in the NFL for the Chiefs. They are 21st when it comes to rushing yards, 123.4. Now, we know that Trevor Lawrence had 50 of those on Monday night. Yeah. We know Lamar probably ran for a few as well. Justin Herbert ran for a little bit as well. They're giving up rushing yards to quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's where they're giving up their rushing. Is there a way to separate that out, Dusty?
I'm sure, because I'm just on like a generic score mobile app that just gives you the defense and offenses in a nutshell. Points per game, they're 13th with giving up 21.4. Offensively, they're scoring 25. So they're right around even there. Mm-hmm. And on third down conversions, they're 13th. 37.5% is the number that they're giving up on third down percentages this year. So it's interesting, you know, when you look at this team from what they were last year, what they are this year, because I think the offense is good. I mean, they're averaging what they average on Monday night, 7.4 yards per play.
So stupid, yeah.
They're scoring at will, but it's the penalties is why I think this team is different from last year. I think the defense will get better, but the defense needs to get stronger on the front four. They've got to be able to find a way to create pressure because you're leaving your secondary hung out to dry and have them cover these great athletes that you're playing and on the opposing team at wide receiver and tight ends. If you can get more pressure up front, I think that will fix that problem. But the biggest problem this team has is discipline. They are penalized way too much. They're the third most penalized team in the NFL.
Yeah, and that's got to stop. But that's a fixable issue. And again, I think this is Andy Reid now taking over this organization and saying, all right, guys, we've done it your way. We've seen what can happen. We should be 4-1 at best, maybe 5-0 at best, 4-1 at worst, but we're not because we're not smart right now. We're not playing a smart brand of football. And I always look at that and I think that is a fixable brand of football to play. Like, you can change the way that you go out there and do things. You can't usually acquire more talent. You can go make a trade at the trade deadline. How great is that going to be? We've seen the trades around here. They don't ever pan out. We go back to, you know, DeAndre Hopkins last year. Everybody was excited. He did nothing for this team. So you can't rely on a trade coming in for teams that are relying on making trades to get better at this time of the year. I do think it's a little bit of fool's gold if you're relying on that big impact player. But I think you can fix stupid. And they always say you can't fix stupid, but I think in the NFL you can fix stupid. And committing penalties is stupid. It's because you're out of position. You're not properly, you know, doing what you're supposed to be doing in your job. You're getting beat. You can fix that kind of stuff. You can fix those penalties, the pre-snap penalties, all that kind of stuff. You can fix all of those. And if they just fix the penalties and they go into Detroit and they have 4.5, and I'll take the under, less penalties, you know, they win that football game. They win that game on Monday night if they're not stupid.
I'm with you that it's fixable, but I wonder how much longer I'm going to be okay saying these sorts of things. If we fix these, you know, self-inflicted wounds, then the record will improve. Well, we said the same thing about the Royals all season. Hey, if someone besides Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi wants to hit, and this year Michael,
yeah,
wants to hit, you know, this team will win more. And it's like, okay, well, at what point do we just sit here and say that the offense is bad? You know, we kept saying, okay, well, Cags is going to come up. So-and-so is going to be hit. They're going to move on from Renfroe. Okay.
Actually, I think we said that early in the year. We said it was a major, or it was a World Series rotation, minor league offense, right?
Mm-hmm. I agree, but I think a lot of people on the text line, especially, and I come from Vern's world, where, you know, you win a game and they say, you're going to the World Series, lose a game, and they want Vern fired, you know.
Vern fired, yes.
There's no in between. Oh, yeah, Vern,
Nip
Zoom
one in the bud.
Yeah, they want the team, you know, to go to Kansas. If, you know, you're right. It's very
You know, the Royals didn't make the playoffs on purpose so they could lose and move to Kansas.
Gotcha.
And I think that when you look at this team, you have to
think. That's why the Chiefs are losing, too.
And you've got to think that this will get fixed, because penalties are something that can get fixed. The offense is something that they fixed in the offseason, and now we're starting to see everybody kind of get back into their role. Obviously, Travis Kelce, what he's on pace for, doing it what he's doing at the age of 35 or 36, I think, now. And, you know, you're 2-3. You're what you said earlier. This is normal NFL. We've been spoiled in the past with getting off to such a hot start. You play the Chargers, you play the Philadelphia Eagles, and you play Jacksonville. Jacksonville, for some reason, is finding ways to win. They were told that, you know, yeah, you beat Carolina, you beat these other teams. Have you beaten a good team? They beat the Chiefs. Why? Because the Chiefs beat themselves. That's why they lost that game. In my personal opinion, I'm not worried where the Chiefs are going. I just want the penalties to get reduced.
I'm with you. The penalties have to be reduced. If they're not reduced this weekend, then, you know, then there's something that needs to happen.
I guess that was my point, is at what point in the season is your answer, they're just an undisciplined team?
Today. Like, this is it.
Without the caveat of it could be fixed, or it will be fixed.
No, I mean, like, if they don't fix it after this weekend, then it's probably not going to be something that can be fixed. But the reason that I believe that it will be fixed is because of Juwan Taylor being fixed for the last 8 weeks, or last 8 quarters, right? Everybody has been on Juwan Taylor, and he has played mistake-free football for the last 2 games. If Andy Reid can fix the NFL's penalty machine, he can fix everybody else. And if you can't be fixed by Andy Reid, pack your effing bags and go to Dallas, because you play for the Dallas Browns or Cleveland Cowboys or whatever loser team is out there. So it will take care of itself. I do believe that it will take care of itself, because if Andy Reid can fix Juwan Taylor, he can fix anybody.
Where do you think this team will either show you this week that they're different? Will it be the defensive line? Will it be penalties? Will it be the secondary? Like, where do you have faith that the team that's shown you the weaknesses they've shown so far will fix it this week?
Well, I think the defensive backs are going to be just fine this week. I think we'll get more of Noel Williams. I think that was a one-off, if you will. I'm going to say it, and he'll probably let me down. It's a big Chris Jones game. Like, I think Chris Jones, based on all of the criticism that he's getting this week, I mean, it's still going. It's Wednesday.
Yeah, the stat that came out yesterday was Jamar Chase has more tackles than Chris Jones.
Right, that's right.
Which I don't think that's true.
Well, I thought he had 8 tackles in Jamar. Either way.
Right.
Either way, right? So that's floating around. Somebody DM me all of the mashups of Chris Jones loafing on Monday night. The Nationals have been talking about Chris Jones. It's been everywhere. He's a veteran player, one of the best players of his generation, will go into the Hall of Fame. Do you want this stank on you? Do you want this kind of memory being the last thing that people have of you going out the door, quitting on your team on Monday Night Football? I don't think Chris Jones is that kind of player. He's shown us that he's not that kind of player over the years. But on Monday night, we all saw what happened. He stunk. He sucked. He quit on his team and he quit on his fans. And because of that, I believe that Chris Jones is going to use that and go, I messed up, guys. I'm going to take over this game. And the Lions, if I'm not mistaken, they have a banged up offensive line, right? Like, they're on their third center, aren't they?
I know they have a banged up secondary. They have three cornerbacks that are out. They still have that dynamic defensive line that could cause trouble.
Sure. But I'm talking about like Chris Jones getting an advantage. They've had injuries on that offensive line. This needs to be a game for Chris Jones to eat. And if Chris Jones doesn't eat in a game like this and doesn't eat for the rest of the year, then it's time for Chris Jones to move on.
The stat is true. Chris Jones has four tackles. One of them is a sack, and Ja'Marr Chase has five tackles.
That's insane. You have more.
For who? Like, that's the question. What's it more insane for? Ja'Marr Chase has five tackles as a wide receiver one, or Chris Jones only has four tackles?
Okay, let's break this down. It's insane in three different ways. It's insane that Ja'Marr Chase has five tackles. It's insane that Chris Jones only has four tackles. And it's also insane that Ja'Marr Chase has had to be in position five times to make a tackle.
Yeah, I get it more from the Chase angle, though. Like, hey, you're on your backup quarterback, a guy that's floundered from the word go this season, and you're the primary target. So the ball's being thrown your way a lot by someone who stinks. So I get there easier than I get to Hall of Fame defensive tackle making the amount of money he's making, four tackles and five games.
Yeah, I mean, he's less than a tackle a game. And guys, this is why I get out of players early. I know people get mad at that all the time, but maybe Chris Jones shouldn't have been brought back after that last season. Maybe we're seeing Chris Jones right before our eyes become that guy that we've never wanted to see, and that's the washed guy that Carrington talks about all the time.
So if he doesn't do it this game, are you giving up belief?
Close. Mm. Yeah, close. I mean, like, I'll never be 100% say I'm giving up on Chris Jones because I've seen that body of work and I don't want to, and we still have a long season to go. But if he goes out there again and he's not an effective football player, you're going to have to start thinking long and hard about the end of the line for Chris Jones.
Speaking of the end of the line, there might be one in Charlotte or wherever the hell they play. That's right. It is a Wednesday, the final time we bring up our Fesco and Dusty Wednesday poll that you can find on the Fan 965 on X. Who is more likely to turn things around individually this season? The two names, Chris Jones, Harrison Butker. The two percentages read 59% Chris Jones, 41% Harrison Butker, as it's gotten closer, but not really.
No, I think that's a fair kind of judgment. I think it's the defensive lineman because it's easier to get better as a defensive lineman than as a kicker, man. If you don't have it as a kicker and you're trying to get this back, it's not like you can go out there as a kicker and have like 35 plays to get things right. You got basically three opportunities, you know, in a game. You better get them right.
What's that mailman from Cheers that I got?
Cliff Clavin?
I got called Cliff Clavin.
Yeah. Hugh thinks you're Cliff Clavin.
Yeah. I didn't know that. This is from the 816 going straight towards me, or Cliff Clavin. Just learned something, Dusty, that I thought you might like. The guy who wrote Charlie and the Chocolate Factory also wrote another book, and in that one, snozzberries is slang for penis. So if snozzberries taste like snozzberries, that's why Veruca's got that sort of reaction. And
it's a Cliff Clavin,
right? That's why I, you know.
Yeah, a little known fact here, Normie.
How bad do you think Bill Belichick feels right now?
I don't know. Okay. Honest answer.
He would go bad.
Yeah. Honest answer. He doesn't feel bad at all because he's another narcissist that doesn't understand he's the problem.
Because Mac Brown, out here at the age of 75, is trolling Bill Belichick.
He is.
He took a picture with Mac Jones after he beat the Bills on Sunday Night Football. Because Bill Belichick said, we will not be posting or having any sort of...
You mean Drake May.
Or Drake May, I'm sorry, yeah. He had a picture with Drake May, great quarterback win, great kid. And it's Mac Brown, who was replaced by Bill Belichick at North Carolina. And then Bill Belichick said, we will not be having any New England Patriot, whatever, even though he was at the whatever acknowledgement. And then Vrabel chimed in on it. And then Mac Brown and Drake May pictured together. And was it a shot?
Yes.
Or was it a coincidence that that was his quarterback? I don't know. But either way, it's tough right now for Bill Belichick. It could be one and done.
It should be one and done right now with Bill Belichick. And then his legacy's done. He's a fraud. I
don't know about that.
I will say that. The evidence is there. With Tom Brady, without Tom Brady, it's starkly different. Andy Reid was really good without Patrick Mahomes, became great with Patrick Mahomes. But Andy Reid was still a Hall of Famer, whether Patrick Mahomes walked through the door or not. Bill Belichick, the evidence is there. Without Lawrence Taylor... And Tom Brady, total ass. With Lawrence Taylor and Tom Brady, fine china, you know? Like, you have all the fine candies and chocolates in the world. It's great. You take away two of the greatest players of all time. But Andy Reid has been really good regardless of who his quarterback is. So I don't want to hear, oh, you're only good as your play. Andy Reid's been good for his entire career. Bill Belichick is not. There was a TV station in North Carolina yesterday that did an investigative report on this program. And my God, was it entertaining. The locker room's divided. Parents aren't allowed to communicate with coaches. Bill can coach, but he can't run a program, and he won't accept help from the boosters and people in charge. That's why, Dusty, I think he's done, because he's not able to recognize he's got trouble going on. He's not able to say, help me and give me that help, because he thinks he can do everything. And truth of the matter is, nobody can do anything. Everybody needs help. Everybody needs assistance. And now they've canceled the Hulu documentary that they were supposed to do.
We're not going to talk about that. Isn't that what Jordan said to him about when they met?
Yeah.
And she said, yeah, that's not happening.
Huh. You canceled a documentary. As somebody quote tweeted it yesterday and said, which I thought was really funny, a documentary still goes on whether you're winning or not.
Yeah.
They thought they were going to go down there with all their arrogance in the world and reinvent North Carolina football. And you know what they've done? Not reinvented North Carolina football. I hope Mac Brown trolls the hell out of them, because Mac Brown's a wonderful human being. I love Mac Brown, and I think he's a very good football coach. Won a national championship, better than what Bill Belichick can bring to the table. This is a stupid hire. This was like hiring Bill Callahan at Nebraska. Don't people learn from the mistakes others make before them? Or they're just too arrogant to understand that you're making that same mistake. Bill Belichick should have been the coach of North Carolina, like I should have been the coach at North Carolina.
I just think that there's certain – I just don't think college is for him.
No.
New England was in a bad place once everything kind of left, right? They didn't really have anybody left on offense. They thought Bill Belichick could right the ship and continue to be somewhat manageable. It went bad. They had a guy fill in. He got fired. Now Mike Vrabel's there
they
showing
had a guy fill in. I like the way you phrased that.
He's fired after 1 year.
I know, but that's kind of what it was. You're the fill-in until we get the guy we want.
Right. And then somebody says, here's a hot take for you. Stefanski gets fired. Bill gets fired. Bill takes Brown's job to finish his clown show. I don't think Bill's going to coach again. But I also don't think that Saban's going to coach again, because a lot of people would think that. But
no, Saban, I would think, is done.
I think Saban found a home.
He's great on TV.
And I think that a lot of people looked at it and said, Pat McAfee, Nick Saban, are we kidding me? These two guys are going to work? They actually work.
It's Herb Street in Corso.
It's fantastic. And Herb Street's still there.
Right.
Like, he's, you know, and I really do love and enjoy Nick Saban on those shows, because you got Pat McAfee feeding him sandwiches. You got him talking about, you know, off-the-wall stuff, and it works.
Yep.
But I also think that Nick Saban is more personable than Bill Belichick. And I know Bill Belichick was going on McAfee's show, and he had some good drops and good one-liners, but I don't think that he has that riz, you would say these days, that he doesn't have that charisma that Nick Saban somehow found.
Right.
Like, you don't see Bill Belichick doing commercials about Airbnbs.
No.
Showers are no longer than 5 minutes. This isn't a spa.
I mean, Nick Saban, low-key hysterical. Like, those, you're right, those commercials are great.
Because the thing about Nick Saban is they can tell him, here's where we want to go because it works, and we think he should lean into it, and he does. Whereas you tell Bill Belichick something, he's like, yeah, I'm not doing that.
Right. I've got my ways. But like, Nick Saban's new at the TV thing. If your producers and the people who have been there before you are telling you to do something and you follow, that's probably the right way to do things. Bill Belichick is the answer man, Dusty. He knows it all, and he'll tell you about it, right? He's got all the answers for everything. When Tom Brady was his quarterback and when Lawrence Taylor was lining up on the defensive side, yeah, then he knew it all. Take those two guys away. You know what Bill Belichick knows? Poop from Shinola.
I mean, he's got, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's, I will say this is definitely like a black eye to his legacy. I don't think his legacy is tarnished, but I think if he gets out after a year, it saves face.
You do think it saves face? Really? See, I think it goes
because
the
other
way.
Because if he comes out, he's like, yeah, I just wasn't, like, I don't know if he'll ever admit mistake.
No.
Like, we all have those friends where, you know, they did the wrong, but they in a roundabout way apologize.
Oh, like that coach of Arizona?
Yeah. Where it's one of those things where, hey, look, my bad about yesterday. Just had a really bad morning, did all this sort of stuff. I don't care. Just tell me you did wrong. I don't think Bill Belichick can do that. Saban went to the NFL, and it did not work.
No.
He went to Miami, had Dante Culpepper, was decent, wasn't great.
They were 8-8, I think.
Realized it wasn't for him. went back to Alabama after leaving LSU and turned Alabama into Roll Tide, hello, here we are.
Right.
And since then, I mean, we're talking about a game on Saturday that Missouri might beat Alabama.
But Alabama's 5-1 right now or something like that. They're playing good football now.
And I just think that sometimes, I don't know, sometimes the juice isn't worth the squeeze.
I agree.
And yes. I think that even though you thought North Carolina might be the deal, you've got to understand where the game is. Now, if Bill Belichick was coaching college football in 2020, I think he's a little bit more successful. But nowadays, with these kids that have some sort of say in what they want to do and where they want to go, you can't control that. And you're seeing coaches struggle with that, whether it be Bill Self at Kansas, whether it be whoever at another university, Bill Belichick in North Carolina. It's hard to control that. And when you don't try to adjust, they'll walk all over you or they'll walk away from you, and then nobody's going there.
Well, and then also you see all these coaches, they're leaving because they don't want to deal with it, right? Like the Sabins and the Krzyzewskis and Roy and all these guys that left, they just didn't want to deal with the new wave of college sports. And I don't blame them. I didn't want to deal with the old wave of college sports, quite honestly. I thought recruiting was terrible in and of itself. Now we're dealing with millions of dollars into all of this, right? And so, you know, that's why, like, the guy at Texas, they got a $40 million program going on down there with player salaries, you know, the all-hyped, all-world Arch Manning. And they stink. They're not even ranked. They may get motorboated this weekend against the Oklahoma Sooners. And that's where I'm looking at Bill Belichick. The problem is a lot of these rich guys are big dorks, and they just want to be around cool people because they haven't been around cool people, the athletic directors and all these folks. Bill Belichick, ooh, that's a cool name to be around. I'm going to hire him because I've got, you know, guy envy. I got a man crush on Bill Belichick. I don't.
Speaking of being cool, go do something nice for somebody today. You never know. It could change their day, their week, their month, their year. It's simply cool to care. Kansas City, stay kind, stay safe, stay groovy. Coming up next, it's Cody Golden Drew from 10 to 2. Happy birthday, Dad. I love you. On the East Coast, because, oh, Billy Baru. We'll talk about that next here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.